Welcome to Growth Mindset University. My name is Jordan Paris, 21-year-old author and host of this show. And with this show, you and I will embark on a journey to learn the things that we should have learned in school but did not, so that we may take control of our lives while fulfilling our vision of success. Each episode will feature a brand new lesson, and now it's time for today's lesson. So put your thinking cap on, because school is now in session.
All right, guys, welcome to the show. This is Chance Galloway.
And I am Jordan Paris.
And we're here today to talk to you guys about what investing is, why we invest, how to invest. You know, we're really questioning the objective of investing with you today. So I'll let Jordan start it off and see what he has to say about investing.
That's a good intro, Chance. I think we're getting a little. I think we're getting better at this.
But, I hope so.
Yeah. So what does investing mean to me? There's really three areas. Yeah, you know, you say the word investing and you automatically think, you know, maybe monetary investing, right? So there's that side that I'll talk about. There is investing in your health. Taking care of your body, you know, putting the right foods in. I consider all those investments. And then also, you know, mental, investing in your mind, really. You know, I view my reading very much like, you know, little investments. You know, that, right. That 10, 15 pages I read in the morning, like that's, you know, I'm putting a little, I'm putting a dollar in, and you know, maybe I'm getting, you know, I read 15 pages, I'm getting $1.15 back, right?
Yeah.
I think we all start with a dollar.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can read some pages, you know, maybe we read 100 pages in a day. I did that like once this month. And so I ended that day, yeah, I doubled my money that day, right?
Yeah.
In my mind.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's investing to me.
Yeah.
What about you, Chance?
Yeah, so that was really good. Very similar to what you were saying, man. Just, it's, investing is one of those things where like, okay, how do I define this word where it's like already self-defined? Mm. It's like when you think of investing, right? You kind of already, you know, investing is investing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like you were saying, there's many different things to invest in. You know, to be honest with you, I don't even know how to define this word investing. Now that I think about
it.
When you think about it's like one of those things. It's just investing is, you know, whether it's putting yourself into something, you know, or like investing is investing, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
but yeah, like Jordan was saying, guys, you know, whether that be your health, your physically, mentally, you know, and then we can go to that emotionally and spiritually as well.
Yeah.
We were talking about that a little bit. And also, guys, it could be with wealth as well, because we all know that money does make the world go round, and that we will be talking about a little bit about investing in money and making your money work for you in this episode of investing. I really, really do, Jordan, want to talk about not just, you know, one form of investing, because I, you know, in my opinion, I do feel as though there are many, many different ways to invest, you know, and many different whys. Why do we invest?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let's start there. Why do you invest in what you invest in? So why don't you start off by saying maybe what you're passionate about investing and why you do that?
Right. You know, just so I can, you know, increase the value that I have to, you know, dispense to the people in my life.
Okay.
Right. And even money too. I want to talk about money first. I want to jump over this hurdle right here.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of negative connotations like, oh, like, you know, with money, like, oh, you shouldn't be, you know, people like accuse you of, you know, trying to make money, like
money hungry.
Right. Listen, all of us need to make money. Every single, like we all got to pay rent, you know, right. we all gotta, you know, pay our bills,
sure.
Whatever. And I kind of, you know, sometimes people have, you know, accused me of this, even with my book, like I'm giving away copies for free. And, you know, there was this one guy who did accuse me of being like a superficial profiteer. He said, yeah,
really?
Right. Yeah.
You?
No. So, you know, it's, I kind of lost my train of thought. Yeah. Money is really... It's an enabler.
Yes.
You know, the more money that you have, the more you have to be, if you're generous, it's an enabler and it's a magnifier. Like, yes. If you're a mean person, and you're a selfish person, you probably shouldn't try to make a lot of money, because it's only going to magnify those exactly. things, right? If your bank account multiplies by 100, how mean you are is going to multiply by 100 as well. Right. If you're a really generous person, you should probably try and make a ton of money, because you just have a lot more to be generous with.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
So I hope I shot that down. It's an enable. Money's an enabler. Money is a magnifier yeah. of who you already are. Mm-hmm. Money's so and to hit on touch on that too. Money's not going to make you happy, because it's only going to make you more of who you are. Like I said,
that's wow.
If you're miserable, wow. you're going to be so much more miserable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So that's why happiness has to come before.
It has to come from within.
Yeah.
You know, essentially. Uh-huh. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. So the way I, my monetary investments. Okay. Yeah. Like I have a presence on the internet. Then my money goes into a couple of apps that I want to share with everyone mm-hmm. here.
Sure.
So there's this app called Acorns. Whenever I spend money, say I spend $1.67 right. or $1.70, we'll make it the math easy.
Okay.
So it invests my spare change. It'll invest, it'll round up. So like $1.70, it'll round it up to $2
gotcha.
And it'll invest my 30 cents into, it'll put it in a portfolio and divide it between, stocks, bonds, and, gotcha. Like 20 different companies, medium risk,
right.
Couple high risk, high yield, high risk, high reward, a couple low risk, low reward. Apple, I know, is in that portfolio. And so that 30 cents gets distributed, among all that. And I'm a student, right. And you are too. So we get it yep. We actually get it for free. And if you're not a student, it's $1 per month. The app is called Acorns. Yeah. And what? So there's that, and every purchase I make, my spare change is getting invested. You don't even notice it. And then also I just have an $80 per week, recurring
right.
Investment into that account. And it just, it gets divided between those, all those stocks yeah. and bonds. It's a very low risk sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's almost like having a financial advisor. It's such a diverse portfolio. You're not putting all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
And then the other app I use is called Robinhood.
Okay.
It's a free investing platform. And this one's a little more advanced. If you don't know what you're doing, right. investing, I wouldn't advise using this. But if you want to learn, go read Tony Robbins' book, Unshakable. You'll learn everything you need to know about investing. And so Robinhood, I have a very diverse portfolio there too, but only because I designed it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch of shares in Apple, in this payment processor Square. Over the course of the last, since October, what is that? We'll just say it's 8 months. I don't really feel like counting.
Right.
My portfolio, my money has, my account has gone up 22%.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't really do anything. I just, I just learned how to do it from reading a book.
Yeah.
And, I think I've got a pretty good handle on it. So those two apps, Acorns and Robinhood. I don't know if you use those, but maybe So maybe I just turned you on to those.
Maybe you did. That's some valuable information yeah. for you guys.
So what do you think about,
monetary investing?
Sure.
So that was really good, guys. That's exactly why I like doing these podcasts, Jordan, is for especially like yesterday we provided those facts, and it's really good, guys, that I'm very excited we're able to provide that sort of information. You just gave them two free apps that they can go onto their phone easy
and do start it today.
Learning. Exactly. Yeah. Start learning how to do invest, guys, and that's really cool. But for me, guys, You know, monetary investing can honestly, it can be in anything, you know, just like Jordan said with, you know, with learning about, you know, stocks or anything like that, or, you know, investing. You said you did penny stocks at one point, right?
Penny stocks are different, but I do set aside I do set aside a couple dollars,
right,
to invest in penny stocks. You know, it's not money. Like, anything you invest in penny stocks, you gotta be okay with losing. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Anyways, but yeah, essentially, guys, is with investing, you know, especially with monetary investing, I feel as though you need to work at a young age, right? So Jordan and I were fairly young, at a young age to build in, you know, whether you want to call it an empire or something structured, to where, you know, you can be in a position in the future. To have something to essentially support you with residual income, that being, you know, income that kind of flows in to your back pocket, whether that be through real estate, you know, having a beach house, you know, out on Fort Myers Beach, and getting monthly, you know, monthly income from literally doing nothing, just owning property, guys, just owning real estate. That's a prime example of investing, you know, at a young age. Invest, save your money, and then don't just save your money, guys. Saving is for, in my opinion, saving is for losers. What you do is after you save enough money up, you invest it into something to multiply that money, right? You multiply that money, and then once you're 25, 30, 35, 40 years old, you will have accumulated X amount of dollars. You know, hopefully that is a decent amount of money, to where you can, like I just said, invest in an even bigger property, or put it in the stock market, or, you know, Jordan and I were just talking about this before, but I recently got into the foreign exchange market. You know, I'm dabbling with that a little bit. That's my form of, you know, of investing. I'm doing it on the demo app, right? I've invested a little bit in the information, the education I need to learn how to invest. So currently I'm down, you know, I'm down a little bit of money, but I believe that in the future that will pay off, because I'm investing in my education. I'm investing in education on investing. Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah. So that's number one, you know, for investing, like, kind of, I kind of hit on a little bit, you know, you gotta know what you're doing before you jump in there, or you're gonna
lose a lot of money.
You're gonna lose a lot of money. I'll give you a funny example.
Yeah,
I think I shared it on the podcast a long time ago. Tell me if you remember the story.
Okay.
It was one day. It was my first time ever investing. You know, back in October, right? And I threw in all my money to this one. Almost like borderline penny stock. Yep. It was a penny stock. Yeah, it was a penny stock.
You told this one, yeah.
Yeah.
I love this story.
And I did it that morning. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the day, the stock had shot up 97%. You know, so doubled, right?
Yeah.
But, I look back on it now, the dumbest thing
ever. Sheer luck, right?
I could have lost it all. You know, I thought I knew what I was doing. I was like, oh, I'm really good at, you know, trend analysis, right? Like I probably even put it on my LinkedIn skills, you know? if you go to my profile, I think it's there.
That's too funny.
You know, so I got really lucky, but you gotta know what you're doing first.
Oh, 100%, guys. 100%. Yeah.
The stock was called, the abbreviation is SRAX, if you want to look it up. Just a really crappy stock. I got very lucky. And then also a couple more things with, you know, Acorns and Robinhood. Acorns, investing your spare change, and then, you know, the recurring investment that I do each week.
Right.
By the time I'm 65 years old, I will have invested about $200,000, and it's projected to turn, you know, with inflation and, you know, changes in the market, you know, the way it has changed in the past 100 years, you know, it's predicted to turn into $1 million just from, you know, doing nothing.
Right.
Here's the tweetable. Poor people work for their money. Rich people put their money to work for them.
That's right? Exactly it.
Yeah. And remember, that's not a bad thing. Money's an enabler. It's a magnifier. And
it allows you to do things, right?
It allows you to experience life. It allows you to treat your friends, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then with Robinhood, you know, where it's more kind of like free reign, you know, I kind of have a lot of options. You know, I'm pretty much responsible for my results. You know, I've picked and choose, you know, like what I want to invest in.
Right.
And so here's the thing. I know this guy, and I write about this in my book, give him a different name, mm-hmm. but every time the market is up, you know, every time the market's up and he's made money, it's like, you know, he's like God, you know, like he's like, oh, you know, I did this, you know, it was all me. I made the right decisions. Right. I should be, you know, a financial advisor, right? But then when the market's down, when he loses money, he blames it on the poor market conditions.
Yeah. Hey, he's one of those guys.
So here's the way I look at it. It can be one or the other, but it can't be both.
Right.
Right. It can be all your fault. You know, it can be all your responsibility, yeah. or it can be none of your responsibility. It can't be both. It can't be your responsibility when the market's up, and then the market's fault when the market is down. You know, it's just,
oh, exactly.
Yeah. You gotta, so you own your results, take responsibility. And that's the last thing I got on monetary investing. Let's shift to the mind now.
Yes.
And you've had
my favorite one.
Yeah. You've had a really cool experience with this that you've touched on a little bit on previous episodes. Mm-hmm. You've had a really cool experience the past 3 months where you went from not reading at all. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
No.
To you're a freaking machine, dude.
Every day.
You told me you walked in today. You're like, yeah, I read 57 pages today. Mm-hmm. Last month, you know, you texted me, you know, that you had read like 70 or
something,
70.
Yeah,
or you said you read 100 pages in a day. Or I don't even
somewhere.
Remember.
No, it was up there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I hit you back like a couple hours later, like, dude, yeah, I just read 130. You know. And so we've kind of got that awesome, you know, back and forth going on in the competition.
It's healthy.
But you've experienced some awesome changes. Tell me about your, you know, the changes that have been going on in your mind and your life because of, you know, your experience with reading.
Yeah. So this, I'm just probably going to enjoy talking about this more than anything else in this podcast, just because, you know, guys, if you watch my live videos at all or follow me on social media, you always see me, you know, you see me posting. If you followed me for the last, I'd say, what, 3 months, you said, since I think I started picking up the books. I really do. I at least see a difference in myself, but I hear it from, like I said, my followers, other people. And I attribute this 100% to opening a book and becoming a bookworm, to just mass mind expansion, guys. Mm. And I have seen such a big difference in the way I think, the way I act, the way I speak, who I'm now, you know, I'm wanting to associate myself with certain people. I'm not wanting to associate with myself with people I used to before.
Yeah.
It's just, honestly, guys, people overlook reading so, so much. I was guilty of this. Guys, 90 days ago, 100 days ago, you know, that's when I really picked up my, you know, my first book. You know, I dabbled with Relentless by Tim Grover, mm-hmm. in the fall semester of 2017. I read about 100 pages, you know, my buddy Tony.
In a couple months, you read 100 pages.
Yeah, no, wow. Guys, in a couple months, I was kind of picking it up. I would read 10 pages, uh-huh. and then maybe a month later, read 20.
Oh my,
you know,
gosh.
Literally, that's how slow. And I just liked the book because it said relentless, and uh-huh. that's my favorite word, you know, as you guys know. But yeah, it took me an entire semester to read half a book, right? And I was in 2017. So fast forward, 2018 comes around, January, still haven't picked anything up. Around February, when I started doing that prep for the show, is when I was like, I'm going to pick up this book again. So I wound up finishing that book within, you know, a week. You know, the rest of the book in about a week. And that's when I decided, I was like, wow. You know, I just from that one book, guys, one book, one 240-page book, completely changed the way that I thought about things. You know, that's a book that I highly recommend. Like I said, Relentless by Tim Grover. But it just goes over what it means to, you know, we were talking about in one of our other episodes, to mentally wire yourself and structure yourself to be at an exponential level. You know, this guy was a trainer with LeBron James and all these big athletes, and, you know, and he just went over what it meant to be a cleaner and to be relentless, essentially. And that really, really connected with me, guys, and that led to Start With Why by Simon Sinek and mm-hmm. Jordan. And then that's when Jordan and I actually started, actually it was before that. It was right after Relentless. We were meeting up at the ETI. And then, guys, I wrote down a list of four books. I was like, I'm going to read these four books in like however long. I probably set like a year goal or something. And guys, I have like eight books under my belt in the last two or three months. Mm-hmm. I never would imagine that's possible. But once you start reading it and filling your mind with that information and investing in your mental health, you realize that there's so much more to life when you can expand your mind. It's in a way, guys, it's like breaking through layers in your head and discovering things about yourself that you never knew were there. And it's quite powerful, guys. And those of you that know Jordan and I know that we're very, very big into health and fitness and our physical health. But one thing that I can personally say I never truly invested in as a kid, as a teenager, even as of 4 months ago, was my mental health, guys. And I seriously attribute that reading and that mental health conditioning to my my neck and shoulder condition getting better. You know, over the last 2.5-3 years, I've been struggling with pain, and I think a lot of it was I was so focused on the injury. I maybe wasn't mentally tough enough. I don't know what it was, but you know, I definitely think that reading and kind of like getting that pump, quote unquote, in my head has really helped.
Yeah, you said that a couple months ago. I remember when you started reading. You called it a pump.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's going to stick with me. But I forgot about it until now.
We're bringing it back. Let's go. But yeah,
that's
Jordan,
good, man.
Yeah, man. That's it.
I'm a long time reader. I've talked about it a lot, probably on the podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to, I won't bore you, but I'm,
man's a legend.
I'm reading only in the sense of reading, and even then, I'm not that good. You know,
I
read.
Give yourself some credit.
I read. I've never read. I don't think more than probably no more than 12 books in a year. This year, I've already surpassed that, and we're 6 months in.
Yeah.
I'm at 14, and I've kind of. And I've written my own,
which is awesome.
So I'll probably end up, getting, like 36. My goal is 28. I have that in Goodreads. Like that's my, I set that goal of 28 by the end of the year, but I'll probably get 36. And next year, maybe get 50. I'm not a student athlete anymore. So, that'll be the first year I don't have that. So I'll have a lot more time to read as well. But then investing, in your health, not just your mental health, but your physical health, not just your mind, but your body, right? We'll transition into that now.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're much better, maybe at the working out side of things, than I am. We're very different. I'm more of like a functional training guy, where I work out for under 30 minutes a day, three or four times a week. And this guy is an animal. What is it? Seven. Do you do 7 days a week?
I've been, Andrew, he texted me today. He's like, yeah, let's hit the gym. And I'm trying to take a day off, guys. I know it's not healthy. I may be overtraining, but I'm so addicted to the gym. I just love it.
Right.
Yeah, seven days.
Hey, man.
It's tough.
I talk about overtraining a lot. And I do talk about it on my website a lot, too. Like, that's the philosophy behind my programs. And, the thing is, with overtraining, usually you won't see if you're actually suffering from it. It's a real thing. You can look it up on PubMed.gov.
I mean, you have to go really hard in my opinion,
right.
Overtrain.
You won't see muscular gains, but chance is not in that. If you look at it on paper, it might sound like he's overtraining, like 7 days a week, like two, three hours a day. But he's bigger and more ripped than any, dude,
that,
like probably any dude I've ever seen. It's pretty, insane.
nowhere close to where we want to be, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
So I'm more into eating, eating right, eating very clean. I don't really have grains. I don't even really have meat that much. Maybe like once or twice a week, because in civilizations that live the longest, also known as blue zones, what is the common denominator among all those? It's not that they didn't smoke. It's not that they didn't do this or that. It's that they ate meat far less often than other civilizations. Right,
it's dead flesh. You're putting dead flesh in your body when you're. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's when you think about it, it's weird. There was one point, this year where I hadn't had steak. I hadn't had steak for like 3 months, and I had my first steak. It was a ribeye sitting at the table that we're at right now. Mm-hmm. And man, it was disgusting.
Really?
It was disgusting. Because like I was just, wasn't used to it, man. I mean, I still, you know, I still love steak. I love to have it. I love to have it, you know, like once a month. If I do have, you know, red meat like that, it's usually burgers, and it's, and they're organic, and of course they don't have buns or anything, or cheese, no dairy, no grains for me. Very limited meat consumption. When I do have meat, it's wild caught Alaskan salmon, not farm raised, because that's BS. A lot of the sushi you guys are eating too, it's all farm raised. Ask the waiter. Is it farm? I every time I go eat sushi, is it farm raised or is it wild caught? And sometimes they have a mix of both.
Well, so I'll make sure. Know half the time.
Yeah, they don't. 90% of the time they don't know. They have to go back to the kitchen and ask. And even then, it's probably BS.
Right.
Because when it's farm raised, like, what are they feeding? You know what they feed those fish on fish farms? Like, there shouldn't even be a fish farm. Like, that just sounds dumb.
Yeah.
They're feeding them corn and soy. What does that stuff do to you? It makes you fat. They feed it. They feed that stuff to them to you know get them a little more, you know, a little fatter.
They get more for their money's worth. They're fat, right? Just like a chicken.
Same with chicken. They feed them corn and soy to what? Make them fat.
Exactly.
And grains. Why do they feed them that stuff? To make them fat. Same with cows. Mm-hmm. They feed them that garbage to make them fat. What's it going to do to you if you eat corn, soy, and grains? It's going to make
it down.
It's going to make you fat. Right. Why are you exempt? You know, you're not above the law, right?
Like
people. So that's
very true.
Right.
I like that.
So I make sure I eat very clean, because when we were talking about conditioning your wiring your mind for success, and the way I wire myself to eat healthy, you know, I'm investing in myself in this way. It's because like I imagine myself at 80 years old, you know, when I'm putting that healthy food in my mouth, I imagine myself at 80 years old, you know, being that, you know, playing tennis able to do stuff and able to enjoy life, like not just living, but having a high quality of life at that age, and not, you know, having debilitating joint pain.
How many people think of that, Jordan?
And when I put the garbage in my mouth, I think about, you know, what I'm going to be like at 80 if I keep eating like that.
So you don't want to eat it.
Yeah, so I don't want to eat that stuff. So I invest in myself in terms of eating right and moderate exercise, because I want to feel good.
Yeah,
I want to have high quality of life, and that's the, you know, really, it's one of the great, it's the greatest form of investment for me.
Yeah.
Taking care of yourself.
That's good, man. That actually inspires me too, guys, because I, you know, I'll be quite honest with you, Jordan. When I was younger, when I was like, I'd say from the ages of, man, really young, maybe 10, 12 to the age of 16, 17, that's when I was like really healthy. Like, I wouldn't want any fast food, you know, and I would always make sure to get my greens in. I would tell my mom to get certain things at the grocery store. Like, but now, guys, now that I'm 21 and I'm heavy into bodybuilding and I compete now, and, you know, that's good and all, you know, but it's, to be quite honest with you guys, it's not the healthiest thing. You know, the more that I get into the industry,
you say that.
And you know, and I'm not afraid to admit that. I'm not going to be one to say no. You know, just because I'm not fat doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm healthy just because I'm not fat. Is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Which I am healthy because, you know, I am on top of my nutrition, but at the same time I could be healthier. You know, Jordan may most likely be healthier than me just because the amount of food I have to eat. You know, when I'm bulking, like right now I'm in bulking season. You know, if I get home from the gym and I want a couple bowls of maybe of cereal, that's not a good example because that's not terrible. But the milk, you know.
I'd say it's terrible.
Would you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, then maybe it is terrible. There you go, guys, from JP Health. So, but yeah, like, okay, so then that's a good example. Like, cereal, right? I don't view it as terribly bad, but, you know, it most likely is. You know, it's not like I did have Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I had a box of it. So that's terrible, yeah. But like my point being said, guys, I burn so many calories in the gym with cardio, with 3 hours of weight training that burns through me. But the quality of that nutrition is poor for my body. Right now at 21, I don't feel it. It goes in and out of me. But accumulate that over time of 10, 20 years of bodybuilding, I know that I will, you know, moderately, I don't want to say suffer, but to a point, you know, had I had I just stuck with greens and really lean, you know what I'm saying? You know, instead of worrying about, you know, bulking up to get as big as I can. So, you know, it's, go ahead, what'd you want to say?
No, I just really want to pick your, you know, see what you're thinking here. Like, why are you doing bodybuilding right now? Like, what's your why there? And how long do you think you will continue to do it? I really want to.
That should almost be a different episode. There's so much to talk on. But I'll touch on it. I'll touch on it just since we're here, guys. Just because we're talking about investing with health and that of that nature, which, you know, I'm not taking away from myself. I am very healthy. You know, I do need to give myself credit. I still hit my fast at cardio, my cardiovascular training 4 to 5 days a week.
Fasting is great.
You know, and I'm on top of that. Like I said, I stay in shape with the weights and resistance training. And, you know, I do get... You know, say like I'm more focused on macros than like micronutrients, which I know is not the best thing. But as far as my why for bodybuilding, guys, I'll go back, you know, back to middle school. I actually used to get bullied. And that's when I found the gym. I had nowhere else to go but my garage. And that's what I found. I found that, you know, hitting the bag and doing some jump ropes was very beneficial to me at the age of 12 years old. And then I invested in a weight set. My parents bought me a weight set. And then I started looking up P90X Ab Ripper on YouTube and got more into that. I started running 5Ks in 8th grade, 9th grade, and it just, over time, it accumulated and manifested to that's all I knew. All I knew was going to the gym and letting out my anger, letting out my, you know, being upset. My parents almost got divorced a couple of times. You know, I've been through some stuff I'm not going to talk about right now. That could be for maybe an interview or something. But that's essentially, it stuck with me, and through that entire time, no matter what happened, I always had weights. I always had the gym and fitness. And that really stuck with me. That's what I grew up on, and that's what I know. That's what I love. And it slowly turned into a transition to when I got into college. I joined the FGCU Physique Club, started competing. I've done 4 shows, and now it's to the point to where I want to do an NPC show, get on stage with the big guys. But now we're being it's to that point, guys, to where I will be, you know, not as focused on my health. So that raises a kind of a red flag and a bit of awareness. It's like, well, am I really investing in my health anymore? If it's now I understand it's a passion, but it's now it's an industry thing. I'm getting soaked up in this, you know, in this hobby that may not be healthy, even though on the outside it looks as though, wow, these people are ripped, you know, on stage or in shape. They're not fat. They look great. Well, just because we look great or just because these people look great does not necessarily mean they are, you know, in optimal health, guys. You know, especially bodybuilders that dabble with steroids or pro hormones, you know, most of those guys suffer later on in life, and girls later on in life, because of the damage that they have done to their body at such an early age. So
yeah, as you were talking there, I just started trying to look up the longevity of bodybuilders.
There you go.
But I can't really.
But that's two different things, guys. Jordan just mentioned longevity, right? Longevity and bodybuilders does not really go hand in hand. Granted, you know, some guys, you know, Frank Zane's older. He's still in great shape. Arnold.
I just saw him on the search results. Yeah.
But Frank it really Zane. Does come down to
who's,
guys investing.
Who's that?
In
Is he
your
living
health.
Long?
Who? Frank Zane.
Frank Zane. Who's that?
Yeah. He's from the 70s.
Oh really?
Yeah. He's an all time great. If you guys don't know him, look him up. Very aesthetic. He was known for, I believe, the vacuum pose. Very aesthetic looking pose.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did he invent it, or was he just known for it?
He was, that's a good question. I want to say he invented it. Uh-huh. I should know this because this is my thing. But I want to say he did, but like I said, I could be wrong. But he was definitely known for doing the vacuum. I know that.
So I didn't find anything on the longevity. But that's really... That's really my goal. Yeah, not just the longevity though, but the high quality of life.
Exactly, and that's mine too. Yeah. I
do you think so? So, did you answer that part? Like, how long do you think you'll stick with this?
Okay, so I did not answer that part. I answered the why, but okay. So this, you know, that's a good question, Jordan. You know, as of right now, at this point in my life, I am at the very, very tip of the iceberg of this industry, of this, I guess what you can say, a journey of life. You know, and it's very scary because, like I said, the people that I'm constantly around are good people, guys. They're very motivated. They're successful. They're into it. Like they just want to be successful, help other people. But you know, you start getting to a point to where it's like, all right, what supplements do I want to take? What, you know, and then you start getting a little bit more, you know, not saying that I'm on anything, but you know, eventually it might get to that point and it's like, that's definitely not healthy. Do right. I want to be taking steroids? I've never touched steroids, no, but steroid. No. I'm just saying this is an industry, guys, to where if I get heavily involved enough, you are your environment. It's just, unless I do natural competitions, which I can do, you know, but it's one of those things, you know, I need to be mentally strong enough to say, okay, listen, I need to worry about my health before a freaking competition or impressing people with the way I look, or, you know, even just doing it for myself, because that's why I'm doing it. You know, I feel as though sculpting your body, it's an art. And like I said, to me, what it represents is what I've been through, you know, what my past is. We've all been through stuff. Jordan's been through stuff. I've been through stuff. We all have a story, guys. And to me, sculpting the way I look is a reflection of my mental state. So if my body is in tip-top condition, that's it's a reflection, a mirror reflection of the way my mind is structured and set up. And after doing this past 6-week cut, it really, really showed me and defined to me how mentally strong and capable I am of doing anything. I shredded down a 4.5% body fat. You know.
So I do know some people that have like a disorder where, you know, like they're pretty much chronically overweight. I don't know too much of the science behind that, but I believe this is true, but think, you know, people who are overweight, it is most of the time, it's a reflection of, their inner mental state. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I 100% agree, dude.
I always, you know, there's people that say, oh, I have thyroid issues, or, oh, I was born like this.
It's curable with nutrition.
But honestly, guys, maybe like 0.5% of the time, you know, that's acceptable. I'm not even, because at the end of the day, you're, like I said, there's always exception for something, you know, there could be a rare, weird thing, but guys, 66% of our population is overweight. 35%, it could be more. 35% obese, or that could be something like that. It's ridiculous, guys. My point, and that's, we're gonna do another episode on that. That
brings
I feel like we always stimulate episode ideas in our
in
episodes.
Our conversation.
It's awesome. But yeah, guys, it's crazy, Jordan. It's crazy, man. Dude, we're writing it down now. Obesity and overweight, whatever, in America. But it's crazy, honestly, that, you know, like you said, it's that mental, you know, that reflection. You know, when someone's obese, overweight, you know, it's, they're just weak. You know, that comes down to that mental wiring. Guys, listen to our episode on mental wiring.
Last episode. I think it was episode 12. Yeah. 4 ways to wire your mind for success. Yeah. I guess we'll just review here.
We'll go back.
I will link to these in the show notes. Robinhood, that's the app. That's the app where you invest, kind of, you know, you can pick and choose. You know, free trades, and you know, if you want to buy 10 shares of Apple, go buy 10 shares of Apple. Yeah. You can do that. If you want to invest spare change and set up like a recurring investment to go into a diversified portfolio that minimizes your risk and mimics the effects of a financial advisor at the cost of $0 to you, Acorns is your app. If you know nothing, Acorns is your app.
Right.
To at least get started. And if you want to learn more, then you graduate to Robinhood. You learn that the book I recommended earlier was called Unshakable by Tony Robbins. And that's what I wanted to review on. And then of course, you know, reading to invest in your mind, and then exercising and eating right to invest in your body and your health and take care of yourself.
Yeah, guys. Yeah. That's it. I think we covered as much as we wanted to, and maybe even more, you know, everything. So thank you guys for watching.
Thank you.
Make sure to live consistently relentless.
And go ahead. And, I haven't asked you to do this yet, but, if you could leave a review on iTunes, if you just scroll to the bottom, if you look up Growth Mindset University in iTunes, click on the show and then scroll to the bottom. You can rate and review it. And I want honest opinions. Feedback. If we suck,
please
give us a 1-star. Tell us. That'll help us.
Exactly.
That'll help us get better.
Yep.
I if specifically if you think we're bad. I want to hear from you.
I would more rather hear from someone that says that than gives us five stars and says, you guys are great.
Dude, that's the thing with
how you learn.
That's the thing with my book, too. Like, I haven't gotten one rating under 5 stars yet. Granted, it's not like a crazy amount of ratings, but still, I haven't learned anything yet.
Right.
I haven't learned anything.
Right. It's frustrating, but
so give us a bad review, please. And
or be honest.
Give us your honest opinion. And that's it. Go ahead, get out there, invest in yourself. Invest in yourself for success of mind, body, and monetary riches, which is not a bad thing. Remember that.
No, it's not.
Is a magnifier and it's an enabler. All right, go ahead, invest in yourself. Get out there, do it. There you have it, my friends. This has been another episode of the Growth Mindset University podcast. Now, if you enjoyed this one today, I would really appreciate it if you could leave us a quick 5-star rating in iTunes. All you have to do is grab your iPhone or iPad, open up the Apple Podcast app, hit the search tab, search the show Growth Mindset University, or just search my name, Jordan Paris, tap the show, scroll all the way to the bottom, and then just hit that 5th star, and that helps us tremendously in ways that you could never even imagine. It means the absolute world to me when people do this. I would be eternally grateful if you do that. We're pushing 100 ratings right now, and it's really making a difference for this show. And of course, if you've not already subscribed to the show, just make sure you do that wherever you're listening to, so that you don't miss that next episode. I know you're not going to want to miss it. And you only heard this episode today because I thought it was valuable enough to post here. So if you want to share that value with your friends, your family, go ahead and do that. Share this episode with them. Take a screenshot. Send it to them. Take a screenshot. Put it on your Instagram story and tag me at @J_Paris_ so that I know you're listening and I can get back to you and put a face to the name. Now, if you're ready to really take your life to the next level, my book is on Amazon. It is also called Growth Mindset University. It's all about how to learn anything, how to take control of your life, and how to fulfill your vision of success. And you're not just supporting me and this channel by getting this book, but you're also getting this awesome book that's going to lay out the rules and principles to design your life full of joy and fulfillment. All right, I love you all so very much. And until next time, my friends, make every day count. Live to learn and grow to give.